actually Gen Now. We're the generation that lives right now. So we've been given that awesome privilege, and we don't take it lightly. But the reason why I wanted, or the story I wanted to share with you this morning about my worship experience was actually a few weeks ago. So as Pastor Sean put it out there today, you know, we've been speaking life into our circumstances, speaking life into our relationships this past month. And Pastor Sean said, hey, Jono, we've got this service where John Lim's going to come and pray for all the students. And I think it'd be really cool if you could actually, you know, speak life into the next gen. And I was like, yeah, that's a great idea, Sean. I'd be honored to do that. And a few weeks ago, I was sitting in that front row there, standing actually even, and had my hands up in worship. And that song was playing, the Psalm 84. And I was really into it. I was taken to that place by the worship team. I was taken to that place where it was just no one else was around me. It was just me and God. And then all of a sudden, the lyrics came up. I think it's the bridge. I'm not a musical man, so I don't know what the terminology is. Might be the bridge, might be something else. But the bit that goes, just one day in your courts. Now, the first time that I heard that song was on a CD. We didn't have the luxuries of having the lyrics up on the screen. And so what I heard the first time I heard that song was, just one day in your courts is better than 1,000, I swear. Better than 1,000, I swear. Oh, just one day in your courts. And then I thought about that. And I thought, hang on, no, that can't be the lyrics. Because as you're saying, one day is enough for me, God. More than that, oh, I'm a bit over that. So one day is better than 1,000, I swear. And it took me to this place, and I just started cacking up. And I'm going, hang on, you know, that thought's just popped into my head, and I've lost this whole, you know, this moment, okay? But hang with me, because it's going to come around full circle. But at that point, I'm standing there and I'm thinking, you know what? Man, there's so many songs that I've heard some great misheard lyrics. Has anyone heard a great misheard lyric in their life? You know, I kind of thought that the words to the song were something that they just totally weren't at all. Well, I want to share with you a few of my favorites this morning, and we've only got time for a few, so there are many more. But one that my dad shared with me, this is a great one. He actually was a big Bee Gees fan. Anyone a Bee Gees fan here? Anyone know the Bee Gees? Staying Alive? Yeah. There's a song that they sing, and I think, I'm a bit too young for this, but I think it was kind of like the headline song for Saturday Night Fever with John Travolta. I want to play it for you now. Have we got that tuned up? Ready to go? I just imagine I'm John Travolta. Just the lyrics go like this: more than a woman to me. That makes sense, right? You know, you're more than a woman. You're my everything. My dad used to think that the lyrics to this song were, bald-headed woman to me. Just to me. Everyone else, she's got hair. Just to me, I just see her without hair. It's beautiful. Just bald-headed woman right there. I've got some others that I've heard through the traps as well. A one for the ages, a bit of Rolling Stones. Can we have the Rolling Stones? If you start me up, I'll never stop. That makes sense, doesn't it? If you start me up, like if you get me going, I'm not going to stop. I'm not stopping. I heard someone once say, the lyrics to this song were, in Yugoslavia, as in the country, in Yugoslavia, you'll never starve. You always have heaps to eat there. And it kind of sounds, I mean, the way he does it, it's like, in Yugoslavia, you'll never starve. It's kind of, I guess it makes sense. I guess it makes sense to someone. And a bit more of a modern one, I'm a big Black Eyed Peas fan, love Will I Am. Not too keen on Fergie, but I love Will I Am. And this song, to me, is an absolute cracker. It's, yeah, boom, 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 gotta get boom. So what the lyrics are to this song is, he goes, boom, 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 got to get that. So it's like, I got to get that bass into me. I love the bass. Got to get that boom, boom, boom. Someone thought that will.i.am was doing a promotion for Nestle. Boom, boom, boom. Got a Kit Kat. Boom, boom, boom. Got a Kit Kat. Boom, boom, boom. Got a Kit Kat. Great, great subliminal messaging there through that. Now, I think this is my favourite one because growing up, this was an anthem, you know, all throughout playing sport and, you know, my academic pursuits and stuff. The concept that, look, if you got knocked down, you got back up again. You just dusted your knees off, you got back up again. Ain't never going to keep me down. It was a bit of, you might not know the name of this song, but I will tell you after today, you will. Chumbawamba Tub Thumping is the name of this song, and it goes a bit like this. I get knocked down, but I get up again. You're never gonna keep me down. I get knocked down, but I get up again. You're never gonna keep me down. I get knocked down, but I get up again. You're never gonna keep me down. I get knocked down, but I get up again. Makes sense, doesn't it? Like, totally the lyrics. They have to be. What else could they be? This means so much to me because I went to a school that had a boarding house. And I used to always hear, I didn't actually go to the boarding house, but the guys from the boarding house would always tell me about how the grade 12s would steal the grade 7's towels when they went to the bathroom. They'd get out of the shower and they'd go, oh no, I've got no towel. And they'd have to run back to their room kind of like with no clothes on. So someone thought the lyrics to Tub Thumping by Chumbawamba were, I've got no towel, I hung it up again. You're never going to get my towel. I've got no towel, I hung it up again. You're never going to keep me towel, I get no towel. I thought that was great. I was like, oh my gosh, who thinks of these things? Who hears the lyric and thinks that it's something completely different? It just like it's crazy how our mind actually hears what is being said. And if it doesn't quite know, it just makes it up. It actually just makes up the lyrics to some of them don't make sense, some of them do make sense. I heard one that was Jay-Z, I think the name of the song, Empire State of Mind is what the name of the song calls. And it goes, now you're in New York, concrete jungle where dreams are made of, which again makes sense. Someone thought it was a guy singing about his struggle to, like a farmer in the middle of New York who's struggling because concrete jungle, wet green tomatoes. Couldn't grow tomatoes in New York. So some of them make sense and some of them don't make sense. But the connection is that we hear the lyrics and our brain interprets them into something that they might not be. Getting back to that Sunday a few weeks ago, I'm here sitting here thinking about all these stupid misheard lyrics that I've heard. And God actually says, you know what, John, that's what I want you to speak on when you're speaking to the young people. Because I believe that life has a song and that the lyrics of life often get misheard. We hear what's going on or we experience something in our life and subliminally, our brain interprets that to being something that it's actually not. So what I want to speak on this morning is that the title of my message, if you're taking notes, is Misheard Lyrics. And I want to explore three misheard lyrics, which I think, I'm pretty confident that everyone in this room would have heard these lyrics in their life at one stage or another. And what I want to do is I want to just extrapolate these, look into them a little bit, and I want to show you that they're actually not new lyrics. These lyrics have been misheard since the start of time. And I want to look into a character in the Bible who also misheard these lyrics. And then we're going to talk into actually going, well, what are the real lyrics? So let's just close our eyes. I'm going to pray to start. Heavenly Father, I just pray that you speak through me this morning, that there are people here that you have gathered for such a time as this, Lord God, to hear the word that you have placed and that you will communicate through me, Lord God. And I just thank you that you are the author of the lyrics of life and you know exactly how the song goes. In your glorious name we give thanks. Amen. Amen. So, the the first misheard lyric. And often these misheard lyrics can be kind of likened to maybe insecurities. I guess if you're wanting another word for it, you get an insecurity of going, I don't quite know how that goes. The first one that I feel like that young people, but also all of us here, hear every day is, I haven't done enough. I haven't achieved enough. You know, there's not enough on my resume. And I think, as I said, these lyrics have been said since the start of time, but maybe just because we've got now social media and we've got the media reporting to us through the television and the radio, we're just a bit more, it's a bit more highlighted and a bit more exposed. And that loop goes round and round. And what that actually does is the more we hear these misheard lyrics, the more we convince ourselves that they've got to be the real ones because they make sense to us. So I want to give you a bit of an example of a situation where I felt like I hadn't done enough. I hadn't achieved enough in life. I was got an invitation to my 10-year out of school anniversary reunion thing, and I had been to my 5-year one, and when I got that thing in the mail, I'm like, oh, I don't want to go to that because I remember what the 5-year one was like. And the 5-year one was literally everyone standing in a circle, just basically going, well, I've done this, and I've done this, and I've gone to this college, and this is what I've done. And I was there just sitting there and going, I've dropped out of med. I worked for a bank. I'm still at uni. And I'm married, and a lot of you think that that's too young to be married. So I'm kind of feeling like I might have not done enough compared to all you guys that have gone traveling and, you know, have doctor's degrees now and all this kind of stuff. And it actually made me feel like in that moment, I'm like, you know what, I was disempowered. I was like, I don't want to go to my 10-year one. Imagine what that's going to be like. 5 years I'd achieve so much. 10 years, I'm going to be like way behind on that. And I feel like, you know, as I said before, that the social media, every day we kind of log on to our Facebook and we log on to Snapchat and stuff like that. And we see what others are doing in their life. And we feel like we haven't done enough when we see what they're doing. We see that, you know, they're off saving the world and saving Tasmanian penguins. Do they exist, Di? Do Tasmanian penguins exist? Are you saving them? Oh, well, let's save them. Let's save the Tasmanian penguins. Anyway, you see all these things and you compare. And Stephen Furtick said this, profound quote. He said, the reason why we struggle in this area and with this insecurity is because we compare our behind the scenes with others' highlights reel. So we're looking at others' best bits and we're comparing them to our bloopers. The bits where we've stuffed up. We're going, hey, they're doing that, I've done all this stuff, or I haven't done that. And that's the comparison. So, in the Bible, there's a guy, you may have heard of him, his name's Moses. He's a pretty famous dude. He actually, with the power of God, managed to part the Red Sea. But he wasn't always so powerful and mighty. And the backstory here is that Moses was born an Israelite in Egypt. And at the time, the Egyptian pharaoh was a bit worried that, you know, the Israelites were going to build up an army of young men and actually dethrone him. And so he put out a decree to say, look, every newborn male, off with his head, dead. Like, I don't want to have an uprising here. I'm going to kill them off at the source. And so Moses' mother identified that he was special. And so she hid him until he was 3 months old. And who knows, it's hard to hide a 3-month old. They're crying, they're making a fit, and you're kind of going, shh, you don't understand, but just be quiet. So she puts him in a little bassinet kind of thing of reeds and floats him down the Nile. And the Pharaoh's daughter happens to pick him up, and then she goes, look, you know, we're going to raise him as one of us in the Pharaoh's house. So this is an Israelite who's basically been taken out of a scenario which is poverty and oppression and slavery and placed right into more than enough, absolute opulence, and he gets to grow up under the Pharaoh, not having a care in the world. But one day he actually witnesses something incredible. He witnesses one of He understands by this age that he's not an Egyptian, he's an Israelite. And he sees one of the Egyptian guards actually hitting an Israelite slave. And so he looks around and he goes, I'm not having this, you're gone. And he actually kills the Egyptian. Now, somehow word gets out that he's done this. And so he's on the run. He runs away from Egypt into a place called Midian. He marries the first girl he meets. And then he goes to work. He's absolutely whipped. He goes to work for her dad. He's like, I'm just going to work for my father-in-law because that's my lot in life. I'm someone who just doesn't have a place in life. So he finds himself up a mountain and all of a sudden there's this bush and it's on fire. And he's thinking, I need to call David VG and report that fire. But hang on, it's a bit weird because the tree's not being burnt up. It's just on fire, but it's not being burnt. And in that moment, God speaks to him. And God says, you know what, Moses, I'm calling you to go back to Egypt and to lead all your people out of slavery. And what does Moses say? That first time where God said, that's what you're going to do, Moses, bang, gets hit with a, but God, I haven't done enough. Can I get the scripture up on the screen? It's in Exodus chapter 3, verse 11. Moses answered God, but why me? What makes you think that I could ever go to the Pharaoh and lead the children of Israel out of Egypt? What have I done that makes you think that I'm your man? You know what's going to happen, God? I'm going to go to one of them Israelite meetings that they have at lunchtime, you know, just checking out what all the Israelites are up to. I'm going to go to one of them and they're going to say, as they do every Israelite meeting, all right, is any, we got any takers to lead us out of Egypt? And they're going to expect that no one's going to put their hand up. And of course, I'm going to put my hand up and they're going to look at me and go, we've never seen you before. Who are you? Actually, no, I do know you. What have you done with yourself? And he's going to go, well, I'm one of you, but I'm not really one of you. Killed a bloke. Ran away. Married the first girl I met. And I'm now whipped working for her father. But I'm totally equipped to be able to lead you guys out of Israel. Totally, you know, trust me. I've got all the experience in the world. So right in that moment, you know, he gets one of these misheard lyrics of going, actually, God, you must have got a mistake. You can't mean me. What have I done that could possibly make you think that I could do what you're calling me to do? The second misheard lyric that I feel like we all hear at some stage is, I don't have enough. I don't have enough. As a young person, I was majorly into cricket, like even more so than I am now. And I remember it was grade six, it was Christmas time, and I got my first cricket bat from Santa. I still believed in Santa when I was in grade six. Are all the kids out of the room? Yes. Santa's real. Santa is real, and I got a cricket bat from him in grade six. And it came with, it was a Gray Nichols power spot. No. Anyone that goes, oh, no, you don't understand what this bat was. It was a twig. It had about that much blade. It came with a set of stumps and a ball that was rubber. It was only intended to be hitting that rubber ball. I took it out and tried to play with a cricket bat and I came home crying, blaming my mother that she'd made me a bad cricket player because she'd bought me that bat and it wasn't good enough. All the other kids, mum, they have a better bat than I do. I'm not a good cricket player and it's your fault. You need to get me another bat. So mum, bless her heart, was like, okay, you know, I want to do the right thing by my son. And so she went out and for my birthday, which for you, those of you who don't know, is in the middle of the year. So I was footy by that stage. I was into footy, not really cricket. But she got me a cricket bat for my birthday. And it was a V100 Master Blaster, English Willow, about that much of a blade. And I was ecstatic. I was so excited. I'm like, I'm going to teach the kids at school now when it gets back to cricket season. I'm going to be hitting sixes galore. And I rocked up and all the kids had the Gray Nichols scoop, which was a scooped blade so that literally it just the ball would just go sailing over the infield. And again, I raced home and I'm like, Mum, done it again. you've done it again, Mum. I hate you. No, I didn't say that. I may have done, but she knows I didn't mean it. Why do you keep doing this for me? I never have enough. I never have enough to do what I need to do. And I think, again, this misheard lyric is propagated by, you know, Facebook, social media, and the media when we see other people that have got so much. You know, there's all these, I don't know if you subscribe to some of these cool things, but there's these things that pop up in your Facebook and say, like, gadgets of tomorrow, and they show you how, like, there could be, you know, little drones and stuff flying around in the air taking films of everything, and you go, oh my gosh, I need to have one of those. I have no idea why, but I need to have one of those so that I can fly it around and be someone that has something. Okay? And then what that does is it goes, you know what? I need a new car. I need a new fancy car. So I go and get myself a fancy car. But goodness knows a fancy car needs a fancy garage because otherwise it gets dirty and exposed to the elements. So I go and build myself a fancy garage. But then the fancy garage looks out of place against my home. So I've got to upgrade my home. And because I've upgraded my home, I need to work more. And because I need to work more, I get stressed. And so I need more holidays. And so because I need more holidays, I need to work more. And the cycle just keeps on going on. When do we have enough? We're never going to have enough. There's always going to be something more that we're going to want. And the world tells us, and it fuels this and going, hey, that's okay to want more, to desire all these worldly things. Now Moses, this is thousands of years ago, Moses had the same thing, and this was his second objection to God. So we're in chapter 4, verse 1 now. And Moses objected, they won't trust me. They won't listen to a word that I say. They're going to say God appeared to him. Really? Hardly. And what he's saying here is, God, how am I going to prove to them? What have I got to show them that I'm telling the truth? I don't have what is required for you to go and send me and do this. I know you think I do, but I don't have a great testimony. I don't have, you know, scars that I've been healed from. I don't have anything to be able to go and use to do what you want me to do. And I feel like, you know, as a society today, we often focus on what we don't have rather than what we actually do have in our hand. And if you go further on in that scripture, God actually says, what do you have in your hand? And it's a staff, because he's been herding the sheep. And he says, you know, throw that staff down, and it turns into a snake. And he goes, that should do it. That'll convince him. The third misheard lyric that I want to talk about this morning, that I'm sure in some way or form we've all experienced, is, I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough, God, to do what you want me to do. I remember as a little boy, my dad was a primary school teacher, and he set me a challenge in grade 6. He said, boy, you're going to learn your times tables by the end of the year, and I'm going to quiz you. Now, he's far nicely, more nicely spoken than that, but that's what I heard. Challenge. Now, I was a good student, and by the end of grade 6, I knew my times tables. I thought, yep, you know what? I know these probably better than most of the people in my class. But I was fearful of the fact that I wasn't going to get a good enough score on the test that he was going to set me. And he waved a $100 note in front of me. He said, Johnny, if you can pass this test, $100 is yours. But you know what actually meant more to me was the respect to my father than that $100. And so I just kind of didn't bring it up. It got to November, it got to Christmas, and then got to New Year's, and woke up on the 1st of January. I thought, I've avoided this. I've avoided the fact that I don't have to fail. I don't have to feel like I'm not good enough for my dad. And he kind of came to me a few months later and he goes, hey, Jono, why didn't you take that test? Like, you should have come to me. You should have been excited that you were going to get $100. And I said, Dad, I was scared. I was scared that I wasn't going to perform well enough. In Moses' story, we see a very similar insecurity. If we go to chapter 4, verse 10, he says, Moses raised another objection to God. Master, please, I don't talk well. I've never been good with words, neither before nor after you spoke to me. I stutter and I stammer. Can I get the band to come up, please? Because here we've got three misheard lyrics. I don't need you to put your hands up right now, but just have a think in your life. Have the lyrics to your life ever sounded like this? Have you ever felt like you've not done enough? That you didn't have enough? That you weren't good enough to ever amount to anything for God? But as Moses has shown, they're not new songs. These songs have existed right since Adam and Eve got kicked out of the garden. The songs have existed. These insecurities have existed. And because the song has existed, the lyrics wouldn't have changed. If we're mishearing the same song that Moses misheard, then surely the lyrics, the real lyrics, the lyrics God wants us to hear, are the same back then as they are today. And so what we find if we read on in that scripture around Moses is that God summed up the actual lyrics to the song of life in two words. I am. God says, I am the great I am. I am who I am. So when Moses came to him and said, God, you know what, God? I haven't done enough for you or anyone else to believe me. God's up here saying, well, I have. But God, I just don't have enough to do what you want me to do. Well, Moses, I do. But God, I just don't think that I'm good enough to do what you want me to do. And God says, enough is enough, Moses. I am enough. Through all your insecurities, I am adequate. Where you are weak, I am strong. When you fall down, I will pick you up again. When you speak, I will give you the words to speak. He says, these are the lyrics, that through me, all things are possible. That through him, all things. That through him, we don't need to feel our inadequacies anymore because they're gone. He fills the void. That through him, our lyrics are now pure and the way they were meant to be. The answer to your insecurities is found in him. But you know what? That's easy enough said. But is it easy to do, to actually just think in that moment when you're reading Facebook and you're feeling like the whole world has got more than you, has done more than you, is better than you? Is that enough to just go, hey, I know God's got this? It might not be, because, you know, Moses had, in that moment, Moses had God speaking to him directly, face to face, saying, you know what, I am enough. But what happens when the message we're hearing on loop is anything but that? Now, I read a study recently that said that it was to do with TripAdvisor, and it said that for every negative comment that a restaurant or a hotel gets on TripAdvisor, a consumer will place more value on that than a good review. And they found the ratio being that for every poor review, you needed four good ones to actually overcome the perception and think, well, maybe that's an anomaly. Maybe that's not the truth. Maybe that actually these guys know what they're talking about. So what I want to do in this place, because I'm making a bold assumption that everyone has heard one of these lyrics at some stage in their life, I'd love for you all to stand up right here in this place. Because what I've found is the only way that I know when I hear something that I know not to be true, to instill a confidence, to fortify myself, is to speak life into that situation. is to speak life as to what I know my God has said about me in that situation. So right now, I'm going to give you some scriptures. If you have ever felt in your life like you have not done enough to be worthy of a job position, of a relationship, of a call of God, I speak into your life right now and say, this is what God says about you. He says in Ephesians 2, 8, 9, for it is by grace that I have been saved through faith and not by works, so that no one can boast. Romans 8, 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Jeremiah 29, 11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. And Romans 8, 30 says, and those that he predestined, he also called. And those that he called, he also justified. And those that he justified, he also glorified. Amen. There is no reason to feel like you have not done enough, because God has done enough for you. Through his son Jesus on the cross, he justified, he called, and he anointed you. If you've heard the second miss lyric in your life, if you feel like you don't have enough, well, these are some scriptures for you. Psalm 34:10 says, the young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Philippians 4:6 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Philippians 4:19 then goes on to say, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in heaven. And Psalm 23 says this, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit. And if you have heard that lyric, that you are not good enough, I want to encourage you that the Word of God says in Ephesians 2:10, for here we are, his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. If you feel like you're not good enough, say Romans 8:16-17, we are children of God. And if we're children, then we're heirs to the throne, heirs to God and fellow heirs of Christ. If you feel like you're not good enough, then 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. And the last one, if you feel not good enough, Philippians 4:13 says, for I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father. This morning, if you are currently hearing a misheard lyric to your life, something that you're hearing through someone else, through Facebook, through social media, through the world telling you something that you know that your God doesn't say about you, I want you to be bold. I want you to be courageous. I actually want you to come down the front, because the prayer and the ministry team are going to actually want to pray with you, stand beside you on that, speak life into you, because God says, I am enough. God says, I am enough. So right now in this place, if that's you, if currently you're going through something where you feel like you're not good enough, you haven't done enough, or maybe you don't have enough to actually pursue what God has put in your heart today, I would love to see you come down the front and we will pray for you. We will pray that God fills you with an understanding and a security of him and who he is in your life. Thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, just come now if that's you and you would love some prayer from the ministry team.